Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
The volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN, J-O-H-N. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code JOHN. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Happy Fugazi Friday. Or as Donnie Brasco, well, Al Pacino's character in Donnie Brasco said, Fugazi Friday. So we will litigate that, but we do have to hit on the trade and why I think it sums up what we love about sports. It really does. And kudos to the Texans and Caserio and all the guys that run Houston for putting their chips in the middle of the table. I did a video the other day. It's video only on YouTube, so you can check that out, when the trade initially happened. And a lot of it was on Josh Allen and the Bills. And, you know, how this impacts them. But the guy I've been thinking about who it impacts the most, or at least should, from a team-building standpoint, from how much you're going to pay him, is the Dolphins and Tua. And should this change how they approach the contract and maybe just let it play out? We'll hit on that. Ernie Adams, the famous Belichick's right-hand man, kind of the genius behind the scenes, was on Edelman's podcast for like 3 hours. It was a fascinating watch. And he said something that really stood out to me that I wanted to hit on. Caleb Williams, we do draft daily. We got to hit on something with the draft. Took his visit to the Bears. And if they're not giving them the playbook at this visit, I don't know what we're doing. And then, of course, Fugazi? We have some people disputing if I'm saying it wrong, but we will do that today. Got a bunch of your guys' DMs. You can always hit me in the Instagram, and if you label it Fugazi Friday, it's easy for me to search and find it. We'll also do a little mailbag at John Middlecoff is the Instagram, and just fire in your questions, and we will answer them here on the show like we do every week. So make sure you subscribe if you listen on Colin's feed. We got a YouTube channel. All of our content is up there as well. TheVolume.com, we got merch. So pedal the metal. The Masters next week. The draft in a couple weeks. I'd be lying if I said April's not quite the fall, but it's might be my favorite non-football season month of the year when you factor in the Masters and the draft. So, I'm already kind of excited. But first, got to tell you about my friends, good friends, partners, and official ticketing app of this podcast. Grab your smartphone, grab your iPad, download the Game Time app. You want to go to a game? I was watching some of the Dodger game the other day. I mean, what a... Their 1-4 is worth $1.3.5 billion. Just their first four hitters. That doesn't count, you know, the pitchers, the other guys on their roster. If you want to go watch a baseball game wherever you live, hockey games, playoffs right around the corner, NBA playoffs right around the corner, obviously concerts, comedy shows, get out, go have a good time. Get out, get some sun. It's the springtime. Go do something enjoyable and save a little money while you're at it. Buy your first pair of tickets, promo code John, J-O-H-N, J-O-H-N, and save $20 on any pair of tickets. The app's really easy to use. Flash deals. You can search by where you want to sit, the view, the sight lines, the price points. Cannot recommend my friends at Game Time enough. Promo code John. Save yourself $20, first pair of tickets you buy. You know, like most people, you've thought and read and watched kind of this trade play out. There was just some news right before I hopped on that part of this deal, Stephon Diggs basically destroyed his contract. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Smart move by the Texans, try to get a motivated guy. Understand it. The Texans this offseason have been very, very aggressive, right? And I really don't think sports is that complicated. What we want as fans and what we want as people that just follow the sport. Like, the formula is pretty basic. The reason women's college hoops the other night had higher ratings than the NBA finals is because it felt like a large event. It felt like a star-studded event. It felt like we were watching all-time players in a big build-up to where we got. It had been years of building up with those individuals. I'm born and raised a diehard San Francisco Giants fan. I simply don't care that much anymore. Why? The team is really boring. My time's really valuable, just like a lot of people watching this. And it's why we've talked ad nauseum why football is so popular. It's pretty easy to consume. For these other sports where the inventory is immense, like, you got to keep my attention. And I found, like, I'm supposed to hate the Dodgers, right? I hate the Lakers, and I still do. And honestly, that's good for sports. You want people that like teams. You want people that hate teams. That's the way you build brands and get people to watch. It's how you move the needle. I find the Dodgers fascinating. Why? Star-studded group. How good can this team be? The amount of money they've spent on this team. We know all their chips are in the middle of the table. And that adds intrigue. Like, the pressure that gets put onto a team that goes, we're going for it all. Money be damned, whatever resources we have be damned. All we care about is attempting to win. In a sports, this stuff isn't rigged. We don't know if you're going to win or lose, but it kind of keeps our attention. Easily, the two most famous teams and most watched teams of the last 20 years in the NBA were the Miami Heat adding LeBron and the Golden State Warriors adding Kevin Durant. And a lot of people hated them, but everyone was interested to see how it played out. And when they lost, it was actually just as polarizing and fascinating as when they won. And I was thinking about, like, think about the most relevant, might be the wrong way to put it, but I would say the most fascinating team of the last 20 years in the NFL was the Randy Moss New England Patriots, and they didn't even win a Super Bowl. Clearly, they had the undefeated season, and they got beat by the New York Giants. But I think all fans of any team, whatever sport you follow, when it comes to a team sport, just dreams of their ownership, their general manager, doing whatever it takes to win. It doesn't guarantee you shit at all. I mean, you could easily just not make the playoffs if there's a major injury. Something could go wrong. But that's all we want. And it gets us casual fans or people that don't like follow a specific team to pay attention. Like the NBA has been dealing this with forever with tanking. I've been hearing media members for a decade plus saying why this team should punt, why this team should give up. That's awful for business. It really is. Like, it's a great media topic. It's awful for the consumer, you know, the person that watches the game. They want you to try. Now, obviously, the last game of an NFL season, if you have the opportunity to get the number one pick, or if you win the game, you're going to end up with the number four pick. Totally understand. But the NBA, it became like an epidemic of teams doing it all season long. I mean, Sam Hinkie became literally famous because he didn't try to win. It's not good for business. You want teams like the Yankees, like the Dodgers, like the Warriors, like this Texans team going, we're all in. Here's our chips. And let's face it, the Texans, for the majority of my life, have not been very relevant. The crazy thing is they're in one of the biggest cities in America, and they aren't even remotely close to the biggest brand in the state. Partly because the biggest brand in the entire league happens to be down the road. I haven't spent that much time in Texas, so I don't know how far it is. I think it's a couple hours. Could be wrong. If I am, my bad. My point is that them making this move with Diggs, them signing Danielle Hunter, them being very aggressive this offseason has thrown their hat into the ring of like, oh yeah, they're like Ravens, the Chiefs, the Niners, one of those teams that everyone has to pay attention to. And I said this when the initial trade broke, there's no guarantee this is going to work. Because part of being a great player, and this all hinges on the quarterback, who had an incredible rookie season, is doing it year in and year out. What made Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, now Josh Allen, wasn't just being a one-year wonder or having like one season where you're like, God, this guy's the best player in the league. It's every single year answering the bell. And this just adds the pressure to this group. So I understand why they made the move. And it's not a move without risk because they have a team clearly full of high-level, high-character guys. And that's what they build the squad surrounded by, starting with the coach, who was a team captain as a rookie in the NFL. And he wasn't the number one overall pick. He was a second rounder. DeMeco's a special guy. And clearly, Casario's proven kind of be good at his job. Like, there's not really much disputing. I've said this forever. Talk shit all you want about Belichick's assistant coaches, and they have been objectively terrible when they've gotten, you know, the power to be a head man. That is not true for his personnel people. They've gone on to have success. John Robinson changed the Texans. I know he got fired, but like he was the GM when they were the number one overall seed. Went on the playoff run. He hired Vrabel. Adam Peters started with the New England Patriots. Jason Light worked for the New England Patriots. Casario, obviously one of Belichick's right-hand men over 15-plus year span. Those guys actually are much more equipped to go out into the wild, unlike his coaches. But I do think this gets back to just a simple formula. We just want you to care. We really do. The Oakland A's just moved from Oakland to Sac. And I've said forever, most of you probably don't care, and I don't really care that much. The A's couldn't survive in Oakland anymore. And I don't think the Raiders could have survived in Oakland either because the Giants and the 49ers took up too much oxygen. They take all the money. They have the majority of the fans. Obviously, going to Vegas for Mark Davis changed the financial trajectory of his franchise. Not just from a value standpoint, but from the cash coming in. That was never going to happen in Oakland. Joe Lacob, when he bought the Warriors, his number one goal, beside winning, was to immediately move them across the bridge to San Francisco. The Oakland A's are going to San Francisco. That type of stuff's exhausting. That type of stuff is not fun. Fans do not like that crap. It turns people off. Do you know what's intriguing? Whether you like or hate the Dodgers, like, what the hell is Ohtani and Mookie Betts doing? Well, Ohtani's hit a bomb last night. Mookie Betts now plays shortstop, and he's got five home runs through the first six games of the season. I mean, and they are a $1 billion duo. Honestly, Mookie Betts might be one of the most underpaid athletes in all of sports. I was texting with a buddy the other day. Like, if Ohtani's $700 million, I know he pitches and hits, though technically doesn't pitch this year, Mookie Betts should be worth $500, $600 million. But that's for a baseball podcast. But I commend the Texans for just doing what we want all of our teams to do. When I grew up and became a huge sports fan, the 49ers were in the peak of their dynasty. And the reason they were so popular, obviously Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, but every single year, and it was different times, there was no salary cap, Eddie DeBartolo would do whatever it took. He operated a lot like George Steinbrenner in baseball. Who do we need? What do we need? Costs irrelevant. And clearly in the sport of football in 2024, you have to operate under the confines of the salary cap. But there is a balance. Colts fans listening, you guys DM me all the time. Why isn't Chris Ballard more aggressive? He kind of has a clear operation formula that is not doing stuff like this. It's not really what he does. He's not comfortable doing with it. And let's face it, it's kind of boring. And it doesn't really lead to success. When the Rams hung their hat on fuck them picks, it was fun. Now, it ultimately led to a Super Bowl, but why it was so intriguing is like, can this actually work? Are these guys insane? And let's face it, most people, most fans, you're going to have an opinion on it, good or bad. You're not apathetic. And I think that's what sports is. We just want you to care. We just really want you to try. And Caserio, the Houston Texans, D'Amico, I applaud you for taking this big swing. Is it a lock to work? Hell no. I mean, Diggs, I don't want to compare. You know, what's fascinating about wide receivers that become quote-unquote divas, and we've had a lot of them over the years, some of them promote winning. Some of them can be a catalyst to help you win. And some of them cross that line. Like Antonio Brown, obviously now he's lost his marble, CTE, whatever. He jumped the shark, though, early on toward the end of Pittsburgh, and then it was a joke from then on out. Diggs, all I hear about is him being a diva, and he might not be the easiest guy to work with. When he's on your team, you win. He won in Minnesota. He won with the Bills. Like, he's a winning player. And now you're getting him essentially on this one-year deal to prove his worth, hit the open market. He probably wants to change the perception about himself a little bit. I'm just fascinated by this, and I love it when teams take big swings.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches. So much of this talk has been about the Bills, and I did another video only the other day about this initial trade, and I think we posted some stuff on social media, and my thought process on this hasn't changed at all. If Josh Allen is your quarterback, I'm not writing you off to win a division against Tua. The Patriots have potentially a rookie quarterback and a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers led by Nate Hackett calling the offense. I'm not picking any of those teams over Josh Allen, one of the most talented and best quarterbacks I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've been watching football. I'm 39. I've been watching football that I can remember for 30-plus years now. And I'm just not shorting Josh Allen. It doesn't mean he's always going to win the division, but I'm not betting against it. But the more and more I thought about this move, the more and more pressure I think it puts on Tua. And I also think this gives the Dolphins a little bit of an out. Everyone thinks that this offseason 100% is about extending their quarterback. And I've said all along, like, I think you got to be very careful about these big contracts with quarterbacks. You never regret Jerry Jones' famous line, I've never gone wrong paying a premium for a premium. Paying unlimited amounts of money to Mookie Betts or Shohei Ohtani or LeBron or Steph or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, it's not going to be a problem. But once you get past that, like, this guy's a good player, but how good is he? Which we could argue till we're blue in the face where Tua lands, but we all know he doesn't land high enough to give him a historic contract. But what if he proves it this year? And why, if you're the Dolphins, don't you make him prove it? If you can't win a division this season, and I've had some Dolphins fans like, Middlecoff, you're complaining about all these guys leaving us in free agency, especially Christian Wilkins. Look at all these starters we've signed. Okay, that's great. I don't think your quarterback's good enough because I've watched him crumble playing big-time teams and big-time quarterbacks down the stretch and specifically in the playoffs. I don't have confidence that he can do it. And I'm not saying I have a crystal ball. Maybe he can improve. I don't know. But if you can't win this division, that's why I like Josh Allen. Like, obviously, you just look at their roster. It's not like I'm pounding the table. They're going to be some 12 or 13 win team. But I know they're better in the group they're competing against. So if you're Miami, why would you give them this big contract this offseason? Clearly, you're under the cap already because you had to be starting in free agency. Let's see if this guy can prove it. Can he lead us to 12 wins? Can he lead us to a division title? Can he help us win a home playoff game? Because if he can't do it this year, given your six divisional opponents, it's never going to happen. And it's definitely never going to happen once you have to pay him $45, $50 million a year. I'm not anti the guy. He's obviously a solid starter. But we've said that about a lot of players, and then we immediately regret because it's harder to build your team. This is an economic exercise. Because once I pay you a lot of money, your number eventually hits my cap at a large number. You're seeing it this year right now with Dak. If they do choose to play it out, his cap hits like 23% of the entire $250-plus million. And I think when you get to Tua, like, listen, he's had some good moments. But in the biggest moments against the best teams, there is no way around it. He's left something to be desired. And it doesn't mean you can't improve. Most human beings in their 20s, no matter what they do, can improve. Now, he's never going to be bigger. He's never going to be faster. But maybe he could just be better. And I would want to see that if I was the Miami Dolphins. I always push back, well, we got to sign this guy early. Well, I get extending guys early. The Eagles just extended Jordan Mailata. Well, it's his second extension, and they know that he's a legitimate left tackle. There's not question marks there. Is he ever going to be Trent Williams or Anthony Munoz? No, he's not. But are they upgrading that position? Do they feel good about that position? Is he a stalwart now and a key core guy for their team? Hell yeah. And they've seen him do it for years. You don't even hesitate. But when it comes to these quarterback contracts, a lot of teams, you get in these positions and you feel obligated to do it. Hell, it happens in the NBA. We got to max this guy. Well, he's like the 18th best player in the NBA. I would not recommend doing that. Now, I would not recommend maxing Tua. But I'd be the first to say, like, okay, let's have Tua play this year out. And then you win a couple playoff games, you're in the AFC Championship game. I would understand. Then pay him. It's like, well, we get him on a little bit of a discount. Who cares? I'd rather, beside quote-unquote get a discount, know what I'm paying for is worth it. And it's impossible right now to feel comfortable in what you're paying for would be worth it. I watched this podcast Edelman did with Ernie Adams, who's just this fascinating kind of geeky, nerdy guy who's Belichick's right-hand man. They played high school football together at some prep academy in 1970. They were both like, I think Belichick was a center, Ernie was a guard, maybe they were both guards. And they hit it off. And they've been BFFs, I think, still to this day. I mean, Ernie was saying, I'm sure you've seen the clip of him saying that when the overtime rules happened, he'd been waiting for it to happen, the new playoff ones. He immediately texted Bill that Kyle fucked it up. You always choose to play defense because it gives you four downs to get a first down. But he said something in this interview that really stuck out to me. And I've had the privilege of going to a lot of NFL games and being on the field at pregame. When I worked in the NFL, and then when I worked in radio and going to a bunch of Raider games. And it's a fascinating, it's one thing to get there really early and just watch guys in like their sweats and stuff kind of stretch. It's another thing to watch like legitimate warm-ups. And he said something that really stood out to me that I want to play right now.
I'll say the one that was most impressive pregame, hands down, was Peyton Manning. I could go out and watch, and so many of these teams, they have their quarterbacks, they're out there, they're doing their drops half speed, they're listening to the music. I'm looking at, man, you have no chance. First series of the game, what are you going to do? Now, Peyton Manning, he came out on that field, and I mean, when his cleats hit that grass, he was all business, everything full speed. The drops are full speed. The ball handling's full speed. I mean, it's no screwing around here. I mean, this guy's
fast. Got to start fast.
Hey, first play of the game, this guy's going to be ready to go. So many of the others, they're going to take that first series of the game to get used to it. And, you know, that just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like going to play, I'll tell you, going to play Andy Reid's team with the Chiefs, you just tell the way they're coming out to warm up, you're going to be in a football game
here. Yeah.
I mean, these guys are ready to go, you know, which I think, you know, we were ready to go.
Always.
Always. But, you know, the teams that just come out, and you can tell it's kind of half-ass. I mean, what are you guys thinking?
Think about this. I would say in any competitive industry, the most successful people are consistently the people doing the most detailed, putting in the most effort, and working the hardest. Now, working hard in 2024 in most industries is a lot different than like what my dad told me to do. But you're not going to get rich digging ditches, and digging ditches is a lot harder than sitting at a desk. But him describing how seriously Peyton Manning took his pregame warmups, him describing how Andy Reid, when you'd play his Chiefs team, how seriously they took their pregame warmups. One of my big takeaways away from the combine was you go to the combine and you see all these different team logos. And then just because of people I know, I just happen to know, guys on the Ravens, guys on the Chiefs, guys on the 49ers, whatever. You realize that you're competing against 7-8 teams max. That the majority of the league, over half the league, doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell to win. I'm not saying win an individual game, but be a factor come January. They're just not going to be. The details, the work ethic, and the overall standard that's set. Tomlin's been saying this for years. The standard is the standard. It's like, Mike, I've watched your guy's standard and it hasn't been great. But think about in football, and I think it's a lot like this in all sports, when you're playing the best player or the best team and they take everything more seriously than you do, how the hell are you going to beat them? I think about this in my own business. Like, I try to take everything pretty seriously. And sometimes I feel I'm not doing a good enough job. I bet a lot of younger people can relate to this. You're like, am I putting in enough effort? Am I doing the right things? Am I detailed enough? What could I be better at? And I think part of continuing to achieve, whether you're a football player, a football coach, you own a car dealership, is just continuing to kind of chase more. And through that, typically, is about doing more and doing it the right way. And that was one thing the Patriots always hung their hat on. It never felt, and this is kind of why they disintegrated as time went on. They didn't feel buttoned up. They didn't feel detail-oriented. Now, clearly they weren't as talented as some of the teams. But as I said earlier, probably the most fascinating team of the last 20-plus years was this Randy Moss New England team. They went undefeated in the regular season and throughout the playoffs till they met the New York Giants. Yet a lot of the teams in the mid-2010s that won three Super Bowls and went to another one with the Patriots, I don't think were quite as talented as that group. But they had guys like Julian Edelman. They had guys like Devin McCourty. Separate even from, obviously, they had Tom, but Dante Hightower, who clearly took everything seriously. And I just think that's, whenever I hear these stories, when you meet someone who played against Brady, who played against Tiger Woods, who played against Michael, and they just talk about the relentlessness, the focus, it's like, God, they're already better than you, and they're more dialed in than you? Good luck. Okay, let's end on a little draft daily. During this time, you know, some people on the internet call them top 30 visits. I think that disingenuous is not the right way to put it, but it's not the correct way to frame it because you're not bringing in the top 30 players on your draft board. You're allowed 30 prospects to come visit you for 24 hours. You take them to dinner. You can put them through meetings. Do whatever the hell you want with them. Besides, I don't think you're allowed to work them out. But everything besides something on the field, you meet with the owner, meet with the GM, meet with the head coach, meet with the coordinator, meet with the strength staff, meet with whoever you want. Go to dinner. And it's a great time. You're not just bringing in, obviously we're going to talk about Caleb, but you can bring in third round level guys that you might have some question marks with, that you just want to sit down and talk with. You also could, and teams definitely do this, kind of throw out some smoke screens. Bring a guy in that you don't have that much interest in to kind of throw a team off the scent, which you could argue that's a little bit of a waste of a resource and kind of overthinking the room. And I don't know if that happens as much as some people would imagine, but you can do that if you want. But you're only allowed 30 of them. And Caleb is a good example of, it was just reported that he just had his visit with the Bears. Now, at the pro day, a lot of teams, you know, with a high-level prospect, and even just a random prospect, try to have either a scout, an assistant GM, maybe if the GM and head coach are going, to either go to dinner or go to lunch with the guy the day before, the day after, and just spend some time, because you can kind of double dip. And clearly the Bears did that when they went to the USC pro day. I think they went out to dinner with him the night before. And by all accounts, they really liked the guy. And I think at this visit, I think if you're the Bears, you can kind of already start the process for OTAs. Like, to me, I'm already giving him the playbook. I'm already, it's less about bringing him in and peppering him on his football knowledge. Like, we have to feel comfortable if we're going to draft him with his football knowledge. Now, maybe how he likes to learn and what he's comfortable with, but I'm leaving him with my playbook. I want him to start learning that. Because let's face it, this is not 1992. The moment week one comes, he's going to be under center. Or maybe in the shotgun, depending on the offensive play call. But this is now just, we feel comfortable with the guy. We like the guy. I think I saw either Poles or Eberflus. Might have been Poles. Said when they went to dinner with him at the pro day, one thing one of his guys mentioned to him after they had dinner when they were back at the hotel was like, did you notice he didn't even bring out his phone? And I'd say that's, you know, most young people, hell, most old people can't pull that off in 2024. At a dinner, leave your phone in your pocket. But I think this has been sealed for a long time. This was sealed well before Justin Fields was traded. I think this now, if you're Chicago, is starting to get the ball rolling So when the pick is actually in, he's already ahead of the game. And anything we can do right now to help him learn our playbook, help him learn our players, help him just learn what we're all about and what we're going to expect when he gets here, the easier that transition is going to be. Because let's face it, if you're Eberflus, kind of coaching for your job. I just don't think he's going to be able to keep his job with 7 or 8 wins. Now, if he went 9-8 or 10-7 and still missed the playoffs, that's probably a different conversation. But I think we'd all agree, and especially Bears fans, if you go under 500 with Caleb Williams and this newly equipped roster, I just don't think the coach survives. So if I'm the coach, separate from Poles, I'm doing everything possible to get this guy ready to roll. Because the other thing is, this division is going to be a mother. There's no way around that, right? We know the Packers, they've added Jacobs. We know they were one of the youngest teams, I think the youngest team in the NFL. Their coach is clearly proven to be good. And the Lions are stacked, and they didn't lose anybody when it comes to their coaching staff. And Minnesota, who knows? Right? They definitely have some talent. So I think this Bears team, man, there's going to be a lot of pressure when it comes to the coaching staff. Fugazi Friday. Or as someone, and this is, we do this every week, where you guys hit me up with some DMs. I've been kind of using them. I haven't seen anything lately that really struck my fancy, but this is something that's interested a lot of people, so we're going to keep it rolling. I got this DM from, I took a screenshot of it, so I don't have the name of the person, but I appreciate it because love the content. Can I make a suggestion about Fugazi Friday? We need to pronounce it differently. Watch Donnie Brasco and you'll get it. Well, I went to YouTube and I haven't seen Donnie Brasco in a while. Great movie. And Pacino, I'm not Italian, calls it a Fugazi. Now, maybe I've been saying it incorrectly the entire time. I kind of like Fugazi more than Fugazi. I think there's a movie where Fugazi, but yeah. Pacino, Fugazi. Obviously, in Italian mob movies, it's typically pronounced Fugazi. So maybe we will eventually transition to Fugazi Friday. Let's get to a couple. Fugazi Friday. Arby's advertising roast beef sandwiches and charging extra for cheddar. Come on, man. It's always been roast beef and cheddar. They know we're going to add it. What a joke. That's funny. Where I used to live before I moved to my house, we used to live in Paradise Valley. And kind of like this, I don't even know how to describe it. There was just, it was kind of like strip malls, but there was, you know, a ton of like Chipotle's and Red Robins and all this other stuff. There was an Arby's there. And where I used to get a Starbucks when I used to drive to the golf course, there was an Arby's right next to it. And when you leave the Starbucks, you're just kind of pointing right at the Arby's. And I haven't had Arby's, and I'm on a little bit of a diet, got a little fat, but I can't eat dirty with the best of them. And I don't like fast food, doesn't sit as well with me, but I've eaten as many fast food meals by the time I was 25 for a fucking army. Arby's is pretty dirty, but I hear you. When you think Arby's, you think a meat, barbecue, roast beef, and cheddar. So if they're going to charge for the cheddar, that's fucked up. This is going to sting a bit for some, but I know the notion of work-life balance is a huge Fugazi. I'm not saying spending time with family or relaxing or whatever isn't important. It absolutely is. But I have yet to encounter anyone that accomplished anything noteworthy, either in sports or business, that subscribes to this thought process. And furthermore, those that get too caught up in making sure they have balance between work and play just make it that much easier for others to lap them. I know this is a pretty overarching and everyone's situation is different, but working hard and sacrificing to move forward has been a recipe since the beginning of time. It doesn't mean work yourself to death, but calculated sacrifices now can buy yourself so much time and freedom later. As a business owner, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Well, I don't think it's really debatable if you're going to be successful at whatever you do, obviously if you run a business, but even if you're an employee in a competitive field, you are going to dedicate a lot of time to doing that. And obviously there's only so much time in a day. Now, I can only speak for, and someone asked me this, I went on a listener's, they had a school project. He goes to ASU and he's in a sports management class. And he asked me, like, how does work-life balance work? And I said, well, it obviously depends on the individual. But if you really want something really bad, right? Like, it's, you're going to have to sacrifice time, things that you would quote-unquote like to do, for things that you need to do professionally. And like, there were times when I was a kid, my dad just wasn't at an event. It wasn't because he was at the bar drinking or playing golf. He was working for me and my family. So part of sacrificing some quote unquote balance, I would say for the most part, is because of what you want to do and provide for your family. Something nicer, an upgrade in life. And I would say this also, sometimes sacrificing whatever, time fucking around, benefits you in the long term. Now listen, I understand that people hate their job and don't want to be at work. Like that's, everyone gets a choice. That's the great part about America. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. If you don't want to do shit, you can figure out a way to not do shit. If you want to be a millionaire, there is not an easier place in the world to figure that out than right here. But for 90% of people, no one's going to hand you a bunch of money. Most of us aren't going to inherit millions. You're going to have to figure it the fuck out. And typically to figure it out takes a long time. And even as you start to figure it out, the bigger you get, the more things happen. Sometimes the more time that needs to be dedicated on how to figure out the next step. So, listen, my life isn't very balanced. Never has been. And I don't want to say lost friends. I've just, you drift apart in life because professionally, in my world, and sounds like you too, and sounds a lot of people listening, I'm sure, it means a lot. It doesn't mean my girlfriend, going to be my fiance, be my wife, and my children one day won't mean everything to me as well. But I meant everything to my parents, and they worked nonstop. And I benefited from that. And I think any kid worth their salt, at the time, you don't know it. But as you get older, it's honestly lessons that stay with you and help you kind of transition in life. The other thing is, when you don't have a balanced life when you're young, and again, I can only speak from experience, I think it helps you weed out and figure out who to date and who to be with. Because if someone you're with can't understand that, then it's not going to work. So I've always thought the balance, what does that even mean? Seriously, what does that mean? You should have 2 hours a night to watch Netflix. You should have every Friday afternoon to Sunday to do nothing. Okay, do that. That's fine. I don't care. But I hear you. The other thing is I don't really worry about what other people, like, who cares what other people think? Like you said, you want more people to do less so you can lap them. Because, yeah, I mean, I saw, who was it? Oh, Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets. He's like, I think we're going to be in a 4-day work week. And then the guy asked him, like, well, what about your staff? He's like, well, if the markets are open, yeah, we'll be working. Like, so it's like, yeah, a lot of America is going to be 4-day work week. Like, I won't be. It doesn't sound like you will be. I don't even want to be. Like, you get bored. The other thing is, like, for example, I can't, a lot of people talk about retiring early. Like, I don't really plan on retiring right now. I'm in a job that I can do till I can't think or speak. But this is why my advice will always surround, do what you enjoy doing. So, like, retirement doesn't even cross my mind. Like, even sometimes my girlfriend gets mad at me, like, we should go on vacation or whatever. It's like, yeah, the draft's right around the corner. The Masters is next week. Like, I got things that I really enjoy. Now, there is a balance to figuring out a way to making people in your life and sacrificing when the time is theirs and making it count. But I hear you. I think work-life balance is the dumbest fucking line ever because it's so different for every person. But like you said, most people living in the nicest neighborhoods that are the most successful people in their industry don't have a 4-hour work week. Never read that book. I've seen it before. I agree with a Fugazi Friday comment. I agree with all the spam and email comments. The one thing I added to the mix is that I won't use an internal unsubscribe button because of how likely there can be to phishing and other cybersecurity issues. I just block the sender and push it into a junk spam folder. Hi, John. Fugazi Friday for you. When applying for a mortgage, anyone who has bought a house knows that there is not a bigger pain in the ass. the amount of documents, the amount of things you're like, do you need, can I just give you my entire life? It's an exhausting process. The credit bureaus charge the home buyer or lender $80 for a credit pull. The credit bureaus then also turn around and sell the home buyer's info to other mortgage companies that have paid a fee to the credit bureau for this information to try and steal a lead. Essentially, the home buyer is paying the credit bureau to sell their information to a bunch of mortgage companies. It's called trigger leads and is definitely a fugazi. I might start mixing it up a little bit. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I never understand that when I've always like, hey, I guess it happens the most when you're trying to buy something. Like, can we pull your credit? But I guess it happens some other times, maybe if you're buying a car or, you know, there are some other instances where they go, hey, can we pull your credit? And I think, excuse me if I'm speaking out of turn here, but every time they pull the credit, it dings your credit a little bit. I've never once, now granted, I've always paid my bills on time. So never thought about having bad credit where I go, yeah, pull my credit. But clearly, whenever you get your credit pulled, you get a lot of spam and different people calling you for sure. But I can't speak enough to the mortgage business, but you sound like you're onto something. Got a Fugazi for the pod. Could just be me, but I feel like it's been happening for a bit. But just how often commercials show up in short video clips that we watch is an absolute Fugazi in my mind. Doesn't need to happen so often. Thoughts? Well, I'm obviously biased on this one. I would say this. We live in a world where content on YouTube and this podcast is completely free. Obviously, you have to buy an iPhone or however you consume, Spotify, you know, a phone to be able to download these apps. But anything you listen to is free. And there are ads. If you're watching this on video, there are going to be ads. If you're listening to this on podcast, you obviously hear ads. But you're not paying a penny for this content. And you are not obligated to use any of those ads. Hell, there's a little thing called the skip button, which, let's be honest, we all use. So I hear you. It can be annoying. And I agree. I mean, sometimes I just want to watch something and that. Sometimes I'll be watching a YouTube and in the shower, you know, put my phone up on the ledge. And all of a sudden, an ad will come on. I'm soaking wet. I can't change it. But I'm not paying for any of it. So I'm acknowledging I am completely biased on this one. I do think it can be hard to complain, like seriously complain, about things you don't pay for that are completely free. Is there a better way to do it? If there was, I would start that company or that business and be worth billions of dollars. But right now, like, I understand if you subscribe to The Athletic and they still hit you with ads. Hell, in my car, I have Sirius XM radio. I fucking pay $29.99 for it. And there are ads in between segments. It's like they're double dipping. If I was charging you, I'm just using myself as an example, or the volume or whoever, for this content and still inundated, you'd have a beef. It's all free. Right? Part of this whole segment has been we're able to complain when we're paying because we're paying for something. So you have a right. Whether you're right or wrong with your gripe is a different, you know, different question, but I think when things are free, it's like, I don't know, man. If I hand you a cookie and you hate the cookie, it's like, well, it's a lot different when you go to a store and you buy a cookie and then it sucks. So I do think you got to factor in that all this stuff is free. Now, anything you pay for with that type of stuff, totally understand. Why a lot of people pay for Spotify or Pandora. I don't. But I'm so numb to it, I don't even care. I'll just listen to it, skip it. If I can't skip it, I'll just wait. It's all free.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches. Okay, let's do a little mailbag. You guys know the drill. It's just my Instagram, at John Middlecoff. DM's wide open. Fire him. Let's start with Josh. Big fan of the rest of the Volume family. Nerd Sesh, Timpf. We like all those guys. As a Giants fan, what do the next few years look like? Our defense is finally coming together, on paper at least. And the young O-line is developing very nicely. Despite all of that, we have zero weapons in an offensive league and seemingly no optimism this upcoming season. Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest way to get optimism would be to take a quarterback, and then everyone would be intrigued. But like you said, you lose Saquon, who's your best offensive weapon. Does Waller still, is he alive? Did he retire? I know he was banged up last year. He's been banged up for a long time now. Really talented guy in his heyday. But my guess is what happens is that you guys take a wide receiver and just try to band-aid it with Daniel Jones. But it doesn't matter how good your offensive line is, if, and you could easily take an offensive lineman, but I don't think you'll do it at six, is if your quarterback plays shitty and you don't have any wide receivers, and it's like hard to function in 2024. So I'm with you. I think they're one of the more intriguing teams. You can't rule them out for a quarterback. But if you're Brian Daboll, the way everything went last year, just how acrimonious the coaching staff situation was, I just don't know if you can risk taking a quarterback. Because if you have a 6-win season, are you getting a fourth year? I don't know, man. Love the pod. It's become one of my daily pleasures. I like this guy. What would you think if the NBA extended the play into the fifth seed? I think an additional round of play-in games would not only create more urgency, but would also make part of the regular season more meaningful as most teams try to avoid the play-in. So they could allow the top four seeds to draft the play-in opponents they want to play in the first round. I also think for All-Star Weekend, they should try a 3-on-3 tournament to replace the All-Star game. I actually think you're onto something. Because let's face it, the regular season has been rendered meaningful in the NBA. Ratings historically low. They just don't feel like they matter. I don't hate that idea at all. I really don't. I mean, it's the NBA's worst nightmare that their two biggest brands are going to potentially play the 9-10 game. Like, that is a disaster for the NBA. That LeBron or Steph is going to knock the other one out immediately. I mean, that's a problem. And worst case scenario, because the 9-10 team plays the winner of the 8-9 game, or the 7-8 game, well, what if they lose that game? I mean, it could just be both those teams could not make it, which is not good for business. Even though that's the way the cookie crumbled. I love that idea. Everyone's a play-in, you know, 10 to 5. So 5-6, 7-8, 9-10. And then, like you said, have the top four teams pick. So if you're the one seed, Denver, you get to pick. You could argue the NFL should do that as well. I'm never against picking opponents as a television special. And have the general manager and head coach sitting there. We want the Eagles. We want the Sacramento Kings. That is, we're in the entertainment business. The players, you know, clearly they hated like the draft. Remember the All-Star Game draft? Players were like uncomfortable doing it. It's like, what are we talking? This is all entertainment. I'm a Seahawks fan since 2013. Bandwagon, I know. I live here in Seattle. We recently hired McDonald, the best defensive coordinator last year. Our offense is pretty good. Weapons everywhere. Logically, we hired the best DC available. Shouldn't our defense be much better next season and make us a real contender? Kind of like the Lions last season? He gave a Fugazi Friday. I pay YouTube Premium to get away from the ads, $15, but now a lot of sports-related videos have in-video ads. They're around 3 to 5 minutes of video content. When exercising, I have to pull my phone. These ads, game time, gambling. Yeah, I mean, why we build them in? This is business, baby. That's how we get around that. I would say on the Seattle thing is, in theory, your defense should be a lot better. But part of the Baltimore success is their personnel. Right, obviously McDonald was really good last year. My buddy that worked with him the last couple of years called him the boy genius. Like, he's schematically a high-level guy. But they had fucking sweet players. I mean, their defensive line had a $100 million guy. Clowney had the best year of his career. Their two linebackers, you know, you could argue those two and Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, best duos in the league. They had good DBs. They had a fantastic, I mean, Kyle Hamilton's a stud. Like, I don't know. I'd have to bring out your guys' depth chart, but Witherspoon's a really good young player. I mean, I think your personnel on defense is somewhat in question. Should you be better? 100%. And at the end of the day, your quarterback is still Geno Smith. So that's somewhat of an issue for your upside. What are your thoughts on the tax for a stadium? Seeing Kansas City vote no, I think more cities are saying no to tax for teams to build a stadium. I'm a huge sports fan. However, I don't think it's right for them to use tax money so they can make millions more for free. Then the stadium makes the team value skyrocket. I know why owners do it. If I owned a team, I'd probably do the same. No, you wouldn't probably. You 100% would. If you can ever have someone else pay for something, if you were buying a $1 million home and you have to put $150,000 down and someone else would put the $150,000 down, and you don't have to, and you get to own the home, you would do that. Now, I'd be lying if this story doesn't interest me that much. I just simply do not give a shit. but I did read a blurb on Pro Football Talk that the city owns the stadium. Could be wrong, Chiefs fans. I'm pretty positive I read that the Chiefs don't own the stadium or the land. Maybe both. So I do think it can be complicated. Like, for example, I can speak on this because I lived through it. When the 49ers built Levi Stadium, they share in the revenue, but they don't own the ground, and they split the ownership of the stadium with the city. For example, Joe Lacob, he built Chase Center in San Francisco. He self-financed that himself. So he gets all the benefits. Now, part of it, he knew in California he would never be able to pass any sort of measure. Where the Raiders, because Vegas is a little shady, it didn't even go to a vote. It was a 12-person committee that just voted it, yeah. So when you go stay at the Bellagio or New York or whatever, you get an added tax to pay for the Raiders stadium. So I have no problem with someone not wanting to pay the tax. I wouldn't either. I think the situation of the ownership's a little more complicated, but I think it's just human nature. If in business, you could have someone else front the bill and you benefit financially, you always do it. So ultimately, my takeaway is they'll get this figured out. Clark Hunt, I think historically a little cheap, but if he's got to open his pockets for a couple $100 million, he's going to have to do it, right? So I don't know. Obviously, it's a little bit of an older stadium. I do not think that they are a threat to leave Kansas City. But yeah, I have no issue if I'm just the average Chiefs fan making $75,000 in Kansas City voting no. Like, totally understand it. You know why? Because I know eventually it'll happen. You don't need my money. You can figure it out. But I also don't blame the owners or anyone in business for doing this type of stuff. You always avoid costs whenever you can. Welcome to the real world. I tailed your picks for the first time in the players, in the golf pool, at work, and did way better than I ever have. So thanks. No problem. Just out here giving winners. Also a big-time Ravens fan for 15-plus years, and it seems like the next 10 will be tough to get through the Chiefs. My question is this. Do you think Lamar can one day go toe-to-toe with Mahomes, Manning versus Brady style? Or do you think the entire AFC is screwed for a while? Texans are looking up as well, and do the Ravens keep up in the arms race? I think last year was a perfect storm. The Chiefs scored 17 points. They did not score a touchdown in the second half. You could have beat them. Lamar did not play very well. He was very uncharacteristic of the way he had looked throughout the season. And as someone with the Ravens told me, and it was pretty evident if you were sitting on your couch, now, the offensive coordinator, I would say, first and foremost, was shitty. Todd Monken was terrible that game. Refused to run the ball. Run Lamar. It didn't make no sense. This is someone that had $5,000 on the game that no longer has $5,000 because the Ravens lost. But Lamar tried to play like Mahomes. Part of what makes Lamar great is the dual threat. And he just felt like the moment Mahomes had that first drive, it's like, I'll go toe-to-toe with you. Lamar, that's not the way you play. They would have won that game if Lamar ran for 100 yards. The previous game, and the reason I put money on the Ravens and why most people picked the Ravens to win the game, Josh Allen ran for like 80 yards the week before. Lamar is a better, more explosive runner. And they just kept forcing the pass against a team with like unlimited DBs. So yeah, and this is where scheme matters. I rank the quarterbacks, Mahomes 1, Allen 2, Lamar 3. But both Josh and Lamar, for them to be successful, like Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to run at all, can just throw. Josh and Lamar, their added element of running, because it's so elite, Josh a little more powerful, Lamar a little more explosive, is a huge part of that their game. And when you get away from it, it limits your ability. Now, some things went wrong. Obviously, the Zay Flowers fumble, but Lamar also threw an interception in a triple coverage. So, yeah, Joe Flacco beat fucking Peyton, you know, Tom Brady. Eli Manning beat Tom Brady. Peyton Manning's been beat by some random quarterbacks. It's about playing well on an individual day. We've seen Lamar had really good games. Obviously, he's won multiple MVPs. But in this playoffs, for a game and a half, because he did not play well in the first half against the Texans, they just didn't have enough firepower. His playoff resume has been pretty underwhelming. Second half against Texans, awesome. He's just going to have to put together a couple good games. Now, maybe their defense is going to be as good, right? McDonald's gone. Maybe it's just not quite as good. Patrick Queen's gone. So, but I mean, typically they'll just find the next guy. But you know what I mean? I do think he could have, in a big spot, a good game. But he's got to do it first. Forever was like, you know, James Harden eventually is going to break through. It's like, oh, no, he actually never did. And I hate comparing James Harden, who literally has quit on teams, to Lamar Jackson. That is not fair. But the point of, I'll just go, yeah, I think he can. But I know from a gamble, I'm not betting on it again. I'll promise you that. Right? And yeah, I just think now you could argue the Chiefs' defense might not be as good this next time around, but maybe their offense is better. So you're in a good spot. You have Lamar Jackson. He has some questions. And they're all revolving around games in mid to late January. If those are your question marks, you're in a really good spot. But like, I would say there are a ton of pressure on him. And you know, the difference between him and Josh, Josh has played outstanding in playoff games. Lamar is not. Josh has played outstanding against Mahomes. Lamar is not. So I by no means would write his story like as this is how it's going to be forever. But there's just kind of the elephant in the room as we work with the Ravens in the playoffs moving forward. Is this the time he figures it out? Or is it like it's always going to be one of the... It happened to Peyton Manning for a long time. The guy just crumbles in the playoffs. And then 2006 happened. What were they down? 24-3 at half? And then they won that game. Another thing, Ernie Adams said it on the podcast with Jules. That was Super Bowl. We all knew it. Both teams knew it. The Bears were not beating either one of us. Let's face it, if the Ravens had won that game, they had just beat the Niners like 70-10. They beat the living crap out of them. Got to take down Mahomes. It's hard. And maybe we just look back like no one ever beat Michael Jordan, really, right? After the late 80s. No one really could take down Tiger Woods when he had the lead. So it's just one of those things. Maybe it's just Mahomes. He's not going to win every Super Bowl, but he may win every AFC for a while.
Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash. Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.